My name is Ben Bailey. We're so glad that you've joined us for our broadcast today.
I believe one of the strongest proofs of the inspiration of Scripture is the prophecy that we find in the Bible. Prophecy might be defined as the ability of a man to predict future events or even speak of past events, which he had no idea of, in minute detail. Unlike fortune tellers or palm readers or those who claim to be able to tell the future, an inspired man of God, a prophet, can predict things with such minute detail that there'd be no way that it would be from men. People in the past have predicted things, but these were so generic. You listen to people today who claim to be fortune tellers, they can predict generic things, but not prophets of the Bible. They speak with exacting accuracy to the minute detail. For example, in Jeremiah 25, verses 9 through 12, and in Jeremiah 29, verses 10 through 12, God promised that His people, Israel, was going to go into Babylonian captivity for 70 years, exactly 70 years, under the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. You read the rest of the Scripture in Jeremiah, 1st and 2nd Kings, you look to the events that happened in Chronicles, and you find out that in the year 606, Nebuchadnezzar came and carried God's people away captive, and for exactly 70 years, up to the year 536, when Cyrus allowed them to go home, they were in Babylonian captivity for 70 years. Now, how could the writers of Scripture predict who, when, and what force was going to do that with minute detail down to the very day, 70 years? There's no way that men can do that. Men can't tell today what's going to happen 5 years away. How could they predict it 70 years away? Another amazing prophecy in Scripture is that of the virgin birth of our Lord and Savior. I want you to think about Isaiah 7, verse 14. Isaiah is writing 750 years before Jesus comes to the world. And look at the promise he makes. He says, "Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel." Now remember, 750 years before, not only was this an amazing prophecy, but this was against all medical science. Women don't have children without the help of a man. And yet, here it's prophesied that a virgin is going to give birth to a son, and you'll call his name Emmanuel. You open to the pages, the first pages of the New Testament, Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 following, and it is promised that Mary is going to give birth to a son. You shall call his name Jesus, or Emmanuel, which is translated, he'll be Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Mary, without the help of Joseph, as a virgin, gave birth to a son. How could Isaiah have known that great mystery 750 years before it happened? Friend, there's no way that man could have known that on his own. And that's the principle of Scripture. The writers of the Bible, there's no way they could have said the things they said, made the predictions they made, without God being the driving force behind their words. Think about the events on the cross of Christ. Psalm 22 is believed to be written 1,000 years before Jesus goes to the cross. And yet you look in that chapter, compare it with Matthew 27, and you see in detail the things that were going to happen to Jesus. For example, here's just an illustration. Psalm 22 and verse 16. I want you to look at what the Scripture says here. "It is predicted, for dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet." You open to the Gospel of John, and Jesus' hands and His feet were nailed to the cross. How could David have known that 1,000 years before Jesus even came to the earth? How could they know that his side would be pierced, that they would gamble for his garments, that people would make fun of him and mock him, all those things that are predicted? Now think about Zechariah chapter 13. It was promised that one would betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver and that he would buy a potter's field with that. You open Acts chapter 1, Judas betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, and guess what? They bought a potter's field with that money. How could they have known that thousands of years before? Matthew 24, the destruction of Jerusalem is predicted in great detail how it's going to happen. And you look at history, and it happened exactly the way God said. And so what we're trying to get across today is that the prophecies found in Scripture are so minute, so exacting, that it would be impossible for men to do that in of themselves. It proves the fact that God is the author of Scripture and that every Scripture is breathed out by God. But there's another avenue by which we can know those Scriptures are inspired, and that has to do with some knowledge of science that is found in the Bible. Some scientific knowledge that we look at proves the Scripture is inspired. For example, one of the passages that teaches this deals with the earth's suspension. How do we know how the earth is held up? People haven't always believed that it was just hung out there on nothing. But did you know the Scripture claimed it all along? Notice Job chapter 26 and verse 7. Here's an amazing scientific fact found in the Bible. The Bible says, He, God, stretches out the north over empty space, and look at this, He hangs the earth on nothing. Friend, the writers of the Bible simply don't make the scientific blunders that some of their contemporaries made. In Job 26, 7, how did Job know that God held the earth out there on nothing? Men throughout antiquity have not thought that was the way the earth was held up. Some believe during certain times of life, during certain periods of life, that it was supported on the shoulders of Atlas. Others believe that there were four elephants standing on the back of a turtle holding up the world. Can you imagine that? Here are some of the far-fetched ideas. You've got four elephants, and those elephants are standing on the back of a giant turtle, and on the top of those elephants is the earth. That's some of the views men had, and those were believed to be very intelligent at that time. You see, while men, not all men in ancient time, believed that some of the far-fetched views that we see about the earth, how it was held up, the ancient Greeks and Romans were some of the most advanced in their time. And yet they believed the earth was held in place by poles, or again, on the neck of Atlas. Some believed that Atlas had it on his shoulders. Some said the earth was floating out on the water, and should one go far out, he would surely perish. And yet all along, God said, the earth is hung out there on nothing. What an amazing scientific fact that we find in Scripture. There's another scientific proof found in Scripture, and that deals with the round nature, the spherical nature of the earth. The fact that the earth is round has been in the Bible all along. Look at Isaiah 40 and verse 22, and notice what God says here. The Bible says, It is He who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches the heavens out like a curtain, spreads them like a tent to dwell in. Notice, the picture is very clear. God is sitting above, watch this, the circle of the earth. Here's God, and the Bible describes Him as sitting above the circle of the earth. Luke chapter 17, verses 31 and 34 in the New Testament teaches the round nature of the earth. The Bible says that when Jesus comes, some people are going to be asleep, and some people are going to be awake. How can that be the case? Some people are going to be working, and in some places it's going to be nighttime. How can it be both day and night when Jesus comes? If the earth is round, as we know it is, and the sun hits part of the earth, and it's dark on part of the earth, they're again teaching the round nature of Scripture. Again, it's only been a few centuries since scientists and teachers all believed that it was, or many believed that it was a flat earth. And those intellectuals may well have thought the Bible was even unscientific in their view, in its view of Scripture, or view of the earth. In fact, the word translated circle in the Hebrew literally means something that is sphere, something that is round in its shape. It's used in Proverbs 8, verse 27 to describe God setting a compass upon the earth. Now, as we think about this, the Bible was written, it was universally believed that we lived in a flat world. It was argued that if you went out too far, you would actually fall off the end of the earth. Now, there were some Greeks who didn't believe this and some others, but many believed that the earth was a flat object, and if you drove your boat too far out, you'd just simply fall off the end. And yet, all along, God knew and told us it was round. Can a person know that the Bible is inspired? Yes, he can. The Bible claims to be. Its unique nature proves it. Its prophecy found within it proves it. Its scientific foreknowledge proves it. And friend, instead of being a critic of the Bible or a skeptic, we need to love the Word of God. Oh, how I love your law, the psalmist said. It is my meditation all the day. We need to love the Word of God. We need to not only love it, but we need to live it out in our lives. We need to know that if I don't obey this law, this Word, there's no way I can be saved. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Jesus said that He is the only name under heaven by which we could find salvation. And so since this is the inspired Word of God, hear today what God says you must do to be saved. The Bible teaches that first of all, a person must believe in Jesus. Jesus said, unless you believe that I'm He, you'll surely die in your sins. You've also got to repent. Luke chapter 13, verse 3, Jesus said, unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish. Not only must you repent, but you've got to be willing to confess Jesus as the Son of the living God. In Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Upon that confession, you then must be baptized in water. Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized will be saved. And then, my friend, you must live your life every day based on the principles of God's Word, knowing that this book is inspired and that one day I'll be judged by the inspired Word of God. May God bless you as you strive to live your life according to the inspiration of Scripture.